This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Talking about this state, we have the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana joining us, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Noah?
Doing well. I know we got a lot to talk about today. Let's start with the tax session. What are you hearing? It seems as though they're trying to get something crafted by the end of the day today.
Yeah, there's so many moving parts. I was very pleased that the Senate fought to get the tax credits in for the movie industry. A lower number, but still it doesn't kill that industry. Historical tax credits, another very important tool in our toolbox for rebuilding so many historical buildings and so many projects planned and underway that would absolutely stop if that went away. I hope we get things worked out. You know, I was passing out that white sheet on the quail tax that Trina proposed, that fee on processed fuels that with LNG today would bring in tens of billions of dollars. And as an alternative, I think we always got to have some options instead of just cutting everything and putting taxes on everything. So hopefully they'll get it worked out, and if not, it'll carry over into the regular session and probably tweak a few things. I'm over in Alabama today, so I'm over here at a state park. We have a whole bunch of people from the North Shore over here to look at this resort conference center and building those in our state parks to show them how beautiful it's done. So I didn't see the updates of yesterday's session.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we can pivot to that topic. That thing has been a huge success, I'm told.
It really is. You know, it pays for all of the state parks in Alabama. And several years ago when Donna Daniel did a study to see if one would work on land next to Fountain Blue, not in the state park, next to it, to complement the park. Rumor got out that I was building a casino, and I was never going to convince the people on the North Shore at that time that was a lie. So it took a couple years. People still come up and apologize for screaming at me in restaurants that night that we had a public meeting. But I think it's calmed down, and this is exactly what we want. We want a private-public partner. We want somebody to build it, take advantage of it, give us a small percentage, and we can do so much good with that money for our parks, our trails, all across Louisiana.
Not to mention you lure people, right? It's hard to find accommodations close to certain areas, and obviously that would really energize a lot of those little small communities along the North Shore Lake Pontchartrain.
Absolutely, Noel. You know, we have, I think, 300 to 400 groups that meet all over the state every year. The assessors, the clerks of courts, the mayors, the pump operators, you name it. They don't meet in New Orleans because the per diem does not cover their hotel bill. So you build a 150-room resort conference center on the North Shore. Those groups are usually 300 to 500 people. So it will fill all the other hotels. It won't hurt them. And it'll bring people to see the community, shop, spend money. We're looking at one of these facilities here. We've got someone interested in doing one at our Toledo Bend Park, and then possibly one in North Louisiana, where we think they will have the most opportunity to make money and host these kind of events.
Billy, let's pivot to another topic that you've talked a lot about. I just see in breaking news, Governor Jeff Landry criticizes the Mid-Barataria diversion project, saying it would break Louisiana culture. Your thoughts?
I want to hug him. I applaud the governor for standing up and doing the right thing. You know, they keep throwing rocks at him saying, well, he's going to cost the state $500 million. Well, shame on the past administration for spending $500 million before you get a permit. Who in their right mind would do that? And then for the Corps of Engineers to have a private groundbreaking, and they did that because they feared the next governor would do the right thing and stop this ridiculous project. No, you know the hurricane that hit Florida? I was on the phone with the National Weather Service. Do you realize if we didn't have that cold front to protect Louisiana, we would have been looking at the first Category 6 hurricane ever. It would have wiped out. If that doesn't scare the hell out of Louisiana and quit these tinker-toy projects designed in marsh grass, we better put a dredge out there 24-7 and start building land. We better scrap the 50-year coastal plan. We don't have 50 years. And we better come up with a 5- to 10-year plan and pump dredge material 24-7 if we got any chance of surviving a major storm. It's not just a cliche to say, oh, this 50-year plan. Looking at the storms getting stronger, we better start getting defensive and really get out there and put some land between us and these hurricanes.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I keep bringing this up, but no one seems to be talking about the passes down, like when you talk about Barataria Bay, you know, Four Bayou, Cooper Bell. I mean, Cooper Bell, I used to swim across it. I mean, it's like a mile and a half wide now. You know, they had a sandbar that was always moving. I think that's probably still there, but Four Bayou, that is one bayou now. It's gone. And it would seem to me this project is not going to reestablish anything down there. I mean, we need to figure out what we're going to do down there to be the speed bumps.
Well, you saw the recent article in the paper said scientists are saying it may do more harm than good. We've been saying that for 10 years. And when this project first was laid out, it was going to cost $250 million. We know the Corps of Engineers always has cost overrun, but $250 million to $3 billion? If you or I did that, we'd be out of business. It's crazy that we let these people ram this stuff down our throat. And look, they keep talking about Mardi Gras Pass. It didn't build any land. That thing grew 4,000 feet wide, 100 feet deep, all the levee that it washed out. That's the only sediment that's in that pass. And listen, you talk about saltwater intrusion. If we don't close off Mardi Gras Pass and we build this diversion, New Orleans will have saltwater, because a third of the river is going through Mardi Gras Pass, slowing the flow. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you. You slow the flow, that salt water is coming further upriver. Every year that Mardi Gras Pass got wider and deeper, the salt water creeped further upriver. And now the Corps is going to spend $20 million and study it for 5 years. Common sense tells you, close off that pass, put the flow back in the river, and you keep the salt water at bay. And unfortunately, we got to. I hope in the next Congress we can change the Corps from telling us what to do to supporting the local projects and people that know better than the Corps.
Billy, what? So if we
for the past three seasons have gone south, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If we were to go to Mardi Gras Pass just as a science experiment, and let's just for argument's say they're right, it's created new land. Why wouldn't we just figure out how much that is, how much land was created, We know what the other implications are with saltwater intrusion, a third of the water being diverted, and all of that other stuff. And why can't we quantify how long it would take us, how long it took to get to where they are, versus how long it would take us to get to where they are dredging? And it would seem to me that we would have gotten there a lot quicker dredging than just allowing Mardi Gras Pass to continue to get wider and deeper and that kind of sort, taking more of the diversion out. I mean, that seems to me
Absolutely.
To be a fairly easy calculation. I mean, we know what it is. We have satellite. We know how much has been dropped. How long would it take us to drop that same amount of soil by a dredge?
You know why? A dredge, you're going to go out to bid. You're going to get your best price per cubic yard to pump material. These consultants and these engineers get paid a lot of money to produce a lot of paperwork. They make a lot of political donations. And so they're the ones making the decisions. Instead of just putting a dredge out there, look, you dredge from the river, you deepen the river, so you increase the trade, the shipping lanes, and you build that land now, not in 50 years. And it just makes too much sense. And look, any diversion, any land it builds is below the waterline. So it will not lower storm surge one inch. We need to lower storm surge, which will lower insurance rates and give us a chance to live out our lives in South Louisiana. We don't have 50 years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the state owns a dredge or two, don't they?
But you long-term lease these dredges and you put them out there and going from project to project to project. And there's another thing. I've been out on the dredges where the Corps gives out a $6 million project. They take all the pipe up, come in 6 months later, go out 600 yards from that spot and start all over again. Spend more mob on mob and demob. There's got to be a plan to start on each end of the state and go out and build these barrier islands back, rock the outsides, let them build them up 8 feet, and they'll get beat up by a hurricane. But those trees will grow back. There's a ridge down at South Pass that was pumped before Hurricane Betsy to about 7 feet. It's full of roseau canes. The only cattle to survive Katrina were on that ridge. It's still there. And we've spent billions on projects creating pretty marsh, and CPRA goes out there and waves at the camera, and 6 months later it washes away. You've got to build elevation and get trees and growth on there that it'll get beat up by a storm, but it will survive. But we keep recreating stuff over and over, pretty marsh, that doesn't last.
Yeah. I just hope that the governor makes whatever the decision is. We decide what we're doing and we move on. And we have advocated, you have advocated for dredging. I've advocated for dredging. I went down there and looked at Mardi Gras Pass, eyes on, got in a boat with the Pontchartrain Conservancy. We didn't come to an agreement on much because I saw vegetation there that requires that it be underwater for a certain amount of time each year in order to survive. And I didn't see any land above the waterline. I saw a lot of land that was built up that made it shallow, but that doesn't really get us to where we need to be if that's going to be our first line of defense, because everything behind here is all open water. It just didn't make any sense to me and continues to not make any sense to me.
Well, let me tell you, the city of New Orleans, that seawall around New Orleans, the wall around New Orleans is sinking. We know that. Sea rise is rising. We know that. If we don't have a major hurricane in the next 5 to 8 years, you're going to have to raise that wall. Where are you going to get the billions of dollars? But if we put a dredge out there and lowered storm surge to New Orleans, we could buy an extra 50 years, 100-year protection. So it's survival for the city of New Orleans.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, we go back to the rocks off the shore of Grand Isle, where now the beach extends to the rocks.
Yep.
And we tried burrito levees. They didn't work very well. I mean, it's incredible. Real quick, let's talk about, we have a new exhibit at the Cabildo.
Yeah, we're real excited. We kicked it off yesterday. There'll be a big event at the Cabildo tomorrow night, but it's Rodrigue. It's all of his paintings leading up to the Blue Dogs. And I went through it yesterday, Newell, and I got to tell you, I was blown away at some of the paintings I've never seen. The Rodrigue Foundation, his son and Wendy, they've lent this collection to us to display the early works. There's a movie that we show there that you hear from George himself. And just to see some of the features and early paintings before the Blue Dog that I never saw before was pretty incredible. It's well worth going to. It's a great exhibit and really kind of the life story of leading up to how the Blue Dog came so famous and his incredible work before that. And really pretty interesting exhibit, and I encourage everyone to get out and see it.
How long will the exhibit be there, do you recall?
It's going to be, I think, for the next 6 months. It's going to be there a while. I don't have the exact date.
I know you've been having these regional litter summits, Keep Louisiana Beautiful. There's one coming up in Jefferson Parish in December. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're learning around the state. We started in Shreveport, Alexandria, Lake Charles. And what I'm learning is we've got to give the tools to the local governments. And we're working with DOTD. They have been great partners, I can't tell you, on enough money to cut grass and pick up litter and what is needed in each area. But also, you've got a lot of areas where they got garbage pickup in town, but the outlying areas do not, and people take their garbage and go dump it. So if we can get the garbage contractors that have the municipality pickup to put some drop-off in the outlying areas in these parishes where they don't have garbage pickup everywhere and make that part of their contract. So that's some of the discussion. Also, I learned that although it's a law, teachers are not teaching about the litter in school. And we spent a lot of time and energy putting together a manual, videos for these kids to change the way their behavior. We also put together a four-minute video that all the driving schools are supposed to show you, and you have to answer questions on your driving test about litter. We need to make sure those driving schools, which not all of them are doing it, are showing that video. So we need everybody to buy into this so one day we're not spending $100 million cleaning up Louisiana every year. $92 million we spent last year cleaning up after the fact.
Absolutely. It's an incredible program, and education is certainly the key on many fronts. Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor for the state of Louisiana, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We truly appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Have a great weekend.